We're going to swear a lot. We're going to spoil things. We're going to be crude and crass and badass and other words that rhyme with ass. This is episode two. I fucked it up already. Episode 92 of everyone's favorite podcast, Two Fat Guys Talk. The podcast, the series, the podcast. On today's episode, we have a bevy of topics that I'm totally not looking up on my phone right now. Devaniel, how you doing?
So you give me a list of topics, mm-hmm. and then don't even remember them.
Yeah, that's right. I was counting on just checking my phone. Okay. On today's show, we have a bevy of things to talk about. My name is Carlos. My compatriot is Dave. Say hi, Dave.
Hey.
Dave, have you bought a Nintendo Switch?
Fuck no.
Let's talk about why. Let's unpack that.
So let's just mention that we actually had done a podcast on the Switch. And then just abandoned it because whatever.
Yeah, and I figured we were going to talk about how much we hate this thing more anyway. So why bother?
So now that it's out... And mm-hmm. now that the problems have become evident to everybody but Nintendo, mm-hmm. now we can kind of talk about how it does suck versus how we thought it was going to suck.
I'm so glad that the only two games I wanted, as of right now, a Switch for, are also out on the Wii U and the 3DS. One of them was Blaster Master Zero. I'll talk more about that later. But goddamn it, this Switch... I'm just going to come out and say the biggest problem to me is that owning it and all its peripherals and stuff is so expensive. The Switch is a luxury toy compared to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The Switch is the luxury toy. And I'm not one about, you know, power and system specs. As long as things look and play well enough, I'm fine. But you can't be the luxury toy... be underpowered and have this like sparse a launch lineup and also the problems the Switch has. let's bring up this list. The left Joy-Con sometimes desyncs, but only the left one. And Nintendo, instead of recalling their product and fixing it, they said, nah, just don't use it in a room with radio signals or with aquariums and shit.
So, not near power sources.
Yep.
Nowhere near any Wi-Fi or radio signals.
Which the Wii U, sorry, not the Wii U, the Switch puts out.
Or that anything puts out.
Mm-hmm.
No aquariums in between you and the Switch. And don't hide your Switch behind a whole bunch of metal.
People have literally fixed their left Joy-Cons with a few little homemade remedies. And I could not believe how much excitement and praise Nintendo was getting for this piece of shit console they just put out. And they're still getting it. You tell people, what about the left Joy-Con issue? What about the fact that you can't migrate saves off the console? What about the fact that Nintendo seems to have a fully functioning cloud save system they can only access internally that we can't access yet? And people are like, no, but the games, though.
It's not the games. It's the game.
Which you can still get on a Wii U and is just as good.
Which a lot of people didn't actually invest in. But look, I'll get to the games library in a minute. Let's also talk about the fact that the dock scratches the screen.
Yeah, the dock scratches the screen.
The screen is not even as robust as a DS screen. Do you remember my complaint all those years ago about why I didn't get a DS? And you were like, Dave, don't be stupid. Hand it over.
Kiki was playing Elite Beat Agents.
Elite Beat, and you're like, Dave... here, try and scratch the screen. And I mean, granted, I wasn't trying to, but that game had you switching your frickin' pointer across the screen,
stylus.
Scratching, doing frickin' beats. And I'm like, okay, you've proven to me that it is robust and you gotta work at scratching your screen. If you try the stylus on that screen, like, it's not even as robust as your Wii U fucking gamepad.
I think the real issue is that Why does the dog scratch the screen? This is...
Yeah.
This is puzzling. Even if I put aside my hate on I got for Nintendo these days, and I just go, what's a Nintendo-sounding thing to do? I would not say, hey, let's make a dock that scratches the screen.
That's a manufacturing defect in my mind.
It is unreal what an expensive clusterfuck the system is, and it's getting praise. I don't understand. This, right now, my opinion of the Switch is this is garbage hardware. The one piece of Switch hardware that doesn't look like garbage to me is the Pro Controller, which admittedly looks good and apparently works on other Bluetooth devices, which is nice.
And costs $100.
Yeah, I know. Then that's not a $100 controller.
Let's be honest. When Sony and Microsoft launched this generation's of consoles controllers, we were getting them for $60. They went up to $70 because of the fact our dollar dropped. And we were being screwed over a whole bunch. But
we're Canadian, by the way, folks.
But still, compare a $70 controller at launch to a $100 controller. I'm sorry, Nintendo. In fact, no, I'm not sorry. Your controller's not worth $100. Period.
It apparently has really good battery life, which is nice.
I don't care.
And hey, that D-pad is probably better than the D-pad on any other controller you care to mention. That's still not $100,
man. $100 is too much for a goddamn controller.
Honestly.
Even the Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm. They're expensive.
They're expensive as fuck.
The shittiest controllers imaginable. One of which, the left one, doesn't work reliably.
Well, I'd have to take it apart and solder something.
Yeah. What a great system Nintendo just put out.
Now, let's talk games.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Zelda's a good game.
Breath of the Wild.
It is a great game.
I want to play it.
I'm playing it on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going to be playing it too.
And I'll be bringing up Zelda later on as a general thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got Zelda.
Breath of the Wild.
Look, if we're talking about the Zelda on frickin' the Switch, everybody knows what we're talking about.
Dave?
Because there is no virtual console ability to get Zelda Linked Past.
What's the title of the new one, Dave?
Oh my god. Breath of the Wild.
You got it.
Dude, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm just so mad at the Switch. Let's blame Nintendo.
We've got 1-2 Switch.
Uh-huh, so nothing.
And we've got a whole bunch of indie games which have been available on everything else since anywhere from 2007 to 2012.
Blaster Master Zero is a new one for the Switch.
Blaster Master Zero is a new one, yes.
And it's really good. I've played that one. But you can get it. I played mine on the 3DS, which I'll still argue is superior hardware to the Switch.
I don't know about that, but here, their launch titles outside of Zelda, and I'm not giving the fucking subtitle, so fuck you.
Breath of the Wild.
Is lackluster. It's weak. It's weak even compared to the PS4, for fuck's sakes. There's nothing here. Half the games don't come out for another 3-4 months. And, yes, graphics don't make a game. It's the icing on the cake. But, when your game, in comparison, multi-platform games especially, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen, is that Nintendo's version of the game wasn't going to go with a more cartoony look or try a different way of having the game on their system. They're literally direct ports that look like ass. The upcoming Dragon Warrior Heroes 2 game.
Dragon Quest Heroes?
Dragon Quest Heroes, yeah.
2?
Dragon Warrior Heroes, Dragon Quest Heroes, whatever.
Breath of the Wild.
I'm going to kick you in the head. It looks almost as bad as the Vita port. In fact, in a side-by-side comparison, the Vita port actually does some things better. Actually has a higher frame rate The PS4 is sitting around, you know, it'll drop to around 57, 58 kind of thing in heavy combat. The Switch is dropping to 22, and the Vita is dropping to 28. This is PS2 level optimization. You know, the days when Dynasty Warrior games were at its worst in heavy combat, where you were getting screenshot-like frame rates. Congratulations, Switch. You've upgraded to PS2. They're actually raving right now about how much third-party support they're getting. I'm sorry. Multi-platform games really aren't that great of third-party support. You need unique games for the Switch from third parties. You need a Chrono Trigger 3. You need games that aren't going anywhere else, because if they go anywhere else, you're fucked. Literally.
You mean I can play this game and I don't have to buy a shitty Switch? That's exactly what I would be thinking.
Well,
there's only one game in the future I might want to switch for that's coming out for the system that I know of right now.
What's that?
It's called Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
And I don't want it so bad that I'll buy a shitty fucking Switch.
That is not a system seller for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Zelda Breath of the Wild, it runs worse in the dock, and that's when it's supposed to have full access to all of its processing power.
Yep.
Now, I realize it goes from 720 to 960, but why does it run worse? Like, is the processing power it unlocks so much weaker? Or not enough that it can do 960? I thought they were going for 1080. I thought that was their goal with the whole, once it's docked, it unlocks everything.
Now, let's pick a weird resolution no TV uses.
Well, no, 960 actually is something that even the PS4 has done for certain games.
It's still an odd resolution.
You're not going to notice it, though.
Oh, sure. My issue isn't noticing. I'll play a game in 480p. I don't give a shit. My issue is how well does it perform, and it performs worse.
Like,
reports are saying Breath of the Wild on a docked Switch performs worse.
Worse than a Wii U.
You want to get the best performance on the Switch, you play the Switch in portable, yeah. Which means you're using the shitty Joy-Cons. Or the kickstand. The shitty kickstand.
The kickstand.
On this premium...
Yeah.
Apple-priced toy.
Yeah, no, it's... I am so glad.
Apple is a good comparison. Inferior hardware for more money.
I don't know about the inferior part, but at least from the Apple standpoint. But we're not talking about Apple versus Android.
No, I just mean Apple hardware overall.
Yeah, you're an Android fanboy. Fuck you.
Yeah, Android's great. I can actually do things on it. But I'm talking about Apple, period, like Max. Like, let's buy a shittier computer for more money that I can't self-repair or open up or anything. Oh, yay. This is coming from a years-long Apple guy, too, who was a Windows guy, then a Mac guy, then a Windows guy again. Like,
but yeah, no, I was actually, up until a couple weeks ago, gonna hold off playing Zelda until eventually I got a Switch. And then you showed me that the comparison videos were on par. And it's like, oh, well, Amazon, bye.
It's like Nintendo realized they fucked up on the Switch. So they're like, we better not artificially throttle the Wii U version like you know they were going to.
Oh, those original comparison videos were just god-awful. And the color gamut that was available, the... animation, everything. It just looks so much worse. There was no way I was going to accept that version over the Switch. Then you show me the new one. It's like, wait a second. There's no real... I see a little bit more detail in that pixel over there.
The lighting's a little brighter here.
A little bit brighter there.
Fuck you, Nintendo.
Exactly. There's two reasons to get it on Wii U. Maybe three. Number one, you're not playing a Switch.
You don't have to buy a shitty Switch.
Number two, and actually this isn't true, I found out since, but I was a little pissed when I found this out. No motion controls. Except in a couple of the puzzles, they still force you to pick up the goddamn game pad.
Mm-hmm.
I was pissed when I got to those puzzles. It's like, oh, you can't do this with your controller. Pick up the gamepad.
What a Nintendo thing to do.
You mother. And I've actually played. I had read about this specific puzzle. It was one of those marble puzzles. You have to get through the maze by rotating your gamepad or the Joy-Cons if you're on the Switch. And how this puzzle had everybody furious because it doesn't control right. So I tried doing it the proper way. The way that Nintendo wanted you to do it. And then I figured out, wait, why am I doing it the hard way? It basically drops the marble from above the maze onto the maze. So I took my controller, and as it started to fall, I rotated it really quick. I literally used the maze to bat the marble right into the trap that I had to get it into. Totally superseding the entire puzzle.
It's just like when we were playing Trine.
Yeah.
We were playing Trine multiplayer, and you're like, you got to carefully physics-based maneuver that thing. And I just started slamming a boulder into it over and over until it fell out.
Yeah.
Like, puzzle solved.
Exactly. So that's a minor irritant for that.
Sure.
Number three.
You don't have to buy a shitty Switch.
Well, that was number one.
No, I know.
Number three is that it actually plays much better with our classic controller on the Wii U, I've heard, even than the classic controller on the frickin' Switch.
These days I'm okay using the Wii U gamepad as a controller, so I'll just probably play it on the Wii U gamepad.
I guess you could. I don't know. I don't like how big it is. I don't like how bulky it is. And they decided not to use the gamepad for a secondary screen, which I like. Because where I was going to have to put basically the stand up in front of me and have like the map or whatever else, like they did with Twilight Princess and with Wind Waker. That was your access to your map. And that was kind of annoying because it meant I had to have it right in front of me even though I wasn't using it. So yeah, that's the reasons to buy the Wii U version over the Switch version.
I select my Wii U and I still have a backlog of games to play on it, so my Wii U is not going anywhere anytime soon.
I can also back up my fucking save.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. The Switch is super anal retentive about not letting you copy your saves over, just like the Wii was. So can't back up your saves. There's no cloud save system in place yet. And I just hate the Switch so much. Like, I hate everything about it. Like
the Switch version 1 feels like a beta test. It really does.
And it's gonna make Nintendo tons of money, and I hate that. I hate that.
Well, you also
Why are people so stupid?
You also hate the fact that the Wii and with the Wiimote and Nunchuck and everything else made the money too.
It's like people flock to Nintendo's worst systems. Like, and the good ones that actually have games, the GameCube, the Wii U, let that shit just fail. Well, oh, it's frustrating.
Nintendo did set themselves up for failure with the Wii U, though, by calling it the Wii U.
Agreed, but it was still a good system with good games.
It was. It is. However, Zelda is the last title for it, from what I understand.
The last first-party Nintendo title.
I mean, my library for the Wii and the Wii U are dwarfed by my PS3, Xbox 360, PS4 collection easily. But those were good games, or else I wouldn't own them. But I've looked at future games, and there's a couple games down the road. The thing I find funny is the companies that used to be Nintendo's greatest third-party developers now won't just do a Nintendo title. Like Square, they would have had no problem back then doing, you know, Dragon Warrior 11 and 10. They're not just doing those for the Nintendo now. They're demanding the ability to do it for PS4 as well because money. Nintendo's not going to pony up the money to pay off how much they'll make off of the PS4 versions of those games.
Yeah, they won't.
And that's going to be Nintendo's problem in the market, is that every game that has a multi-platform title is not going to look or play as good as its Xbox or PS4 version.
Yeah, and that's compounded by the fact that the Switch is garbage hardware, faulty garbage hardware, with no real... for me, anyway, maybe some people have different opinions here because, you know, subjectivity. That, for me, has no exclusives worth bothering for. Like, I'm not going to get a Switch, not in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be, even if I did have the disposable income to burn on such an overly expensive pile of garbage.
They should have really launched this. Like, we've heard the rumor that there is a amalgamation copy of Pokemon coming. Like, they do the whole Sun, Moon, and then there's, like, Platinum.
Yeah, a third one.
A third one.
The Yellow, the Emerald.
Exactly.
Pokemon Stars is the rumored name right
there
now.
There you go. So, we have the rumor that that's coming out for the Switch sometime later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that should have been... Zelda's a launch title. Pokemon should have been next month or the month after at max. To try and maximize potential.
Sure, but I also don't really care. I want the Switch to burn and fail hard.
It's not going to.
I know.
Just because you want that.
Speaking of Switch games that you don't need a Switch for, Blaster Master Zero. I had a lot of fun with this game. I bought it one day and I got its true ending the following day. Blaster Master Zero, I'm playing it on the 3DS. The Switch version has a feature the 3DS version does not. That's that you can do co-op multiplayer. Player 2 gets to control a little crosshair that they can fire independently to help Player 1 out. Kind of cool. You can't do that on the 3DS, but whatever. This remake of the original Blaster Master is similar to DuckTales Remastered in that they took the original levels, they kind of expanded upon them, rejiggered things here and there. Most of where everything used to be is still where it is, but they added a lot to make the various interiors worth going for. There's a lot more sub-bosses, item upgrades, and whatnot. There are finally bosses you can fight as the tank, Sophia. And one of the big gripes of the original is that when you get the wall climb upgrade, you have to be careful with your jumps, because if you jump too far on a ledge, you'll wall climb down into it, which could be suicide in Area 8. They fixed that by putting a dedicated button.
Good.
Said dedicated button also lets you lock where your aim is, so you can hold it down and fire that way.
You could do that in the original.
Yeah, if you held in the overhead areas, if you held down the grenade button, it wouldn't fire grenades, but Jason would face the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Hard on the thumbs to do. It that way, though. The story's been kind of thoughtfully updated.
It has a story.
Yeah, it has a story. There are even callbacks to the original Famicom game, Super Meta Fight, or whatever it was called.
Okay.
Like, I was telling you before with the podcast, but there's a part in Area 4 that in the Japanese version was a suicide jump to a tiny ladder that you have to grab in midair because Jason takes fall damage outside of the tank.
Mm-hmm.
They do, and in the American version, they made that a series of platforms you have to navigate as Jason, which is a lot better, honestly. Well, in this remake, both of those elements are there. You do have to do a kind of a blind jump, but there's water under it, so you kind of have to time it, but the game lets you try again if you fail by just splashing into the water. And after that, there's still a bit of an area you have to navigate with Jason. In fact, they bring you out of the tank in the side-scrolling areas a lot more as well.
Good.
So there's a lot more careful precision jumping you have to do with Jason because Jason takes fall damage. The game is way easier than the original, except for the Area 7 interiors, which are the one part of the game that is actually harder. But otherwise, the game is super, super easy. And it's not just the checkpoints and the infinite lives that do that. It's just the extra finesse around controlling your character, combined with how easy it is to upgrade stuff, especially in the overhead sections, how easy it is to get the wave gun. The game is super easy, but it lets you turn off your upgrades as well. I do want to do a run of that game where I just shut off the upgrades and just actually put it in, make a hard mode that the game didn't have built in.
Yeah.
Which is a big flaw. There is kind of a new game plus, because without spoiling anything, to get the true ending involves getting a new capability, and the new game plus lets you play through the game again with that new capability. And which lets you murder the game. It's like a super easy mode at that point, right?
Okay.
There have been speed runs of that mode that last 9 minutes.
Like, wow. Then again, as I remember it, you could get to level 7/8 almost from the immediate area if you had the power up.
Well, it depends. In the European version of the original Blaster Master, there's a bug where when you're outside the tank, if you pause, in midair. Jason will be standing still for one frame, so you can jump in midair. Okay. So you can use that to quickly get to area. You can use that with some other glitches to quickly get to area 8, then die, and the game will give you your tank back. Mm. And you can just go through area 8, because nothing is stopping you from getting through it.
Yeah. No, I remember the original Blaster Master. It was annoying as could be, because you had to do it all in one run, and had no passwords or other save mechanics. But I actually remember Blaster Master more for the Nintendo Power novels they did based on a number of those games.
Which became the games of the series' official story.
I know.
In America and Japan.
I know. That's...
And what's cool is that it's that story that's kind of the basis for the new one.
Yeah. But changed enough that it isn't a carbon copy.
Yeah. It's neat. There's a new character introduced named Eve, who's based off an old character. Sadly, she's a little too damsel-esque for my taste, but the game is still very well done. I think I think it's a very good game. I recommend Blaster Master Zero.
Back to Zelda.
All right. Breath of the Wild.
I'm not sorry for saying this, but this game isn't a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, and I know there are people online, mostly Nintendo fucknuggets, who think Smash Brothers games are the best games ever, who think that it is a 10 out of 10, that it's the perfect game, and how dare people disagree.
Like, look, there are problems with this game. They're small problems. They're not game-breaking problems, but there are problems. For example, cooking your food.
Mm-hmm.
Takes way too much time, and there is no recipe system to cook meals. You're literally cooking by going into your inventory, going to your ingredients, choosing 1 to 5 ingredients, then coming out of your inventory and dropping it into a pot or a fire. Wait for about 3 to 5 seconds for it to cook, rinse, repeat. So if you want to cook a whole bunch of meals to be prepared for everything from heat, cold, stamina, defense, and just general getting your life back, you're spending way too much time cooking. Thank God it wasn't a mini game. That would have just killed it. Inventory management sucks. And it's not that doing the weapons suck, because, I mean, when you're in battle, if you're holding down your right trigger to shoot a bow and arrow, your right D-pad lets you select between bows, left lets you do your arrows, or if you're doing a melee weapon, it's left for shields, right for your weapon. That's fine. My weapon, melee weapon, I can actually throw my weapon as a strategy. It's about to break, do double damage, and get rid of it. Or if I just want to pick up another one, I can throw one of the weapons right from the main screen. If I want to get rid of a shield or a bow, no. You have to go into your inventory, go to that section, and actually drop it. 10 out of 10. Motion controls for puzzles. 10 out of 10. When I fired the game up, I actually died about 3 or 4 times in the first 10 minutes. And I could not... My roommate was down here with me. And he kind of looks at me, and I look at him, I just start laughing. Because I have never... Ever since Link to the Past on Super NES, or even the original Zelda on NES, I have never died so fast for not realizing what the fuck was going on. This game does not hold your hand. Does not give you a tutorial on do this in this circumstance or do that in this that circumstance. There is, in a couple of the puzzle rooms, it gives you a little bit of idea of how you're doing the combat dodge and stuff. But when you first get into things, there's nothing. Here's your weapon. Have fun in the world. Literally. So I got into a battle with 3 guys, and they just took me to fucking town, and I could not stop laughing, because I think that was the way to do that with this game. But for some people, it might put them off. This game's about a 9. maybe a 9.5 if you want to be really generous and you love the Zelda series. But it's not a 10. It's not a perfect. It did it do what the Zelda series needed? Oh, God, yes. I mean, after the mess that was Skyward Sword, they needed to do something different, and the open world just works. Some of it is going to be very frustrating to a lot of people. Like, the stamina system takes a lot of getting used to. Like, you want to climb lots of things. But you've got to have patience. You've got to have food. And as soon as you can, you've got to find some of that climbing gear, because climbing kind of sucks without any of that. Something as simple as swimming. If we had this stamina system back in, say, not Twilight Princess, but Toon Link.
The Wind Waker?
Wind Waker.
Which you did. You had a stamina bar when you were swimming.
You had a stamina bar, but you didn't drown when it ran out.
No, you just go. You lost some health and you got put back to land.
Yeah. So, in that way, it did have this. I'd actually forgotten that it takes you back to land or your boat. When it did that, it tells you the last time I played Wind Waker. So much relies on the stamina system, even combat, to a certain extent. I've been enjoying a lot about Zelda. Just because I don't think it's a 10, don't make you think I hate it. But this game did everything that they needed to do. It just needs a few more tweaks. And now that it's Nintendo's in the digital era where they can patch stuff, there's no reason they can't fix this with patches and DLC. Are they going to? No, because Nintendo does like admitting to their faults. But I can hope.
I really want to play Breath of the Wild, even though I'm still mad you can't be a female Link, which there's no excuse for. I still really want to play this game. Everything I've seen from it suggests to me that, unlike a lot of 3D Zeldas, this combat system is actually, you know, a lot more thoughtful. I got a lot of Dragon's Dogma vibe out of the various climbing and gear things going on. So, in other words, it reminds me a lot about an open-world Bethesda game, but with a combat system that isn't hot garbage. And a lot about Breath of the Wild makes me go, man, if Bethesda games were actually good like this, I'd actually maybe like them. Mm. And it's a little disingenuous to say that stuff like Elder Scrolls didn't influence this new Zelda. However, it's not inaccurate to say that they were more influenced from their own history, from Zelda 1, and trying to make that 3D. Because Zelda 1 was really explore and get lost in the world as well, right? You know, there's a lot of great design in this game, and I do want to play it for my Wii U, a superior system to the Switch. Thank God I don't need to buy a shitty Switch to play this game.
One thing you will want to do, though, is you will want to load it onto your Wii U directly. Don't put it onto a hard drive.
I already emptied out a hard drive and copied everything over to the Wii U system memory because I wanted to salvage that hard drive for other things. Turns out that I didn't have that much saved on it, that I didn't have to delete too much to make everything fit, and still have enough room for if I get the digital version of Breath of the Wild. If I do happen to get enough money to get it before you're done your copy and I just swipe yours.
Because I actually at first put it onto my external hard drive. And I was noticing that the frame rate was a little bit worse than I thought it should be. Loading times were a little bit longer than I was hearing. So I'm like, okay, enough with this. Took the other games that were on the Wii console, put it onto the external hard drive, put Zelda on there. And ever since, it's just been nice.
Cool. Yeah. Fuck the Switch. Those are lessons learned. What's our next item?
Samurai Jack.
Did you watch Samurai Jack at all?
Nope.
So, Samurai Jack is one of those cartoons that... really good cartoon. Super... like, this is a cartoon to watch if you want to study color composition and animation composition. Super, like, amazingly animated American cartoon. I liken it to Mushishi, but with more fighting and a samurai as the main character. It's the comparison is really apt if you do watch Samurai Jack. And most of Samurai Jack, most of the episodes stand alone. That said, it never resolved. Four seasons, it never, like, the show was canceled, but it never ended. And recently, the fifth season of Samurai Jack, which is a lot more serialized and a little more bloody, actually aired. The first episode was last week. The second episode will be today. We're recording it on Saturday, March 18th. And in the decade plus that this show's been on hiatus for, the lessons that the show originally taught about animation and storytelling and composition, these have not gone away. The Samurai Jack remains incredible, and the first episode of season 5 was amazing. And the voice actor for Samurai Jack is Phil LaMarr. He voiced characters like Jon Stewart in Justice League Unlimited and a lot of voices. And he is still just a brilliant voice actor for a Jack who has become cynical and jaded because 50 years have passed. The villain Aku keeps destroying portals to the past, which is Jack's whole mission, to go back to the past and undo all the evil. He's from ancient Japan, and Aku sent him to the future.
I know the idea behind it.
And sadly, the voice actor for Aku Mako passed away during Avatar: The Last Airbender. But the actor who took over for him as Iroh, because Mako played Iroh, is actually the guy doing Aku now. I forget the guy's name. We hear Aku only once in the new episode, but he sounds right. So, you know, I'm positive that's going to not disappoint. They introduce some new characters, and the first episode ends kind of setting up the second episode, which is something Samurai Jack didn't do unless it was a two-parter, right? I highly recommend Samurai Jack, old or new to anyone. And I'm having a blast with this show's final season and its conclusion to a story that never ended. And it gives me more hope that things that got canceled will someday come back and be awesome. Dave, we've seen Voltron Legendary Defender lately, the first couple seasons. There should be an anime rave of that up shortly, sometime in March or April. Dave, I want the team at DreamWorks that does the Voltron show to do a Sailor Moon reboot. And I think that would be the best Sailor Moon ever. What do you think?
As long as it got the writers.
Okay. Well, that was that topic. That did not elicit the discussion I hoped it would.
You realize the Sailor Moon crystal's still going.
I know.
And from what we'd seen of season 3 was improving greatly. We have one day we'll go back to that once things are.
Yeah, I still want a Sailor Moon that's just like a re-envisioning of a lot of things.
And that would be a good, I think the Voltron team would do a fantastic job of Sailor Moon. But I can't see it ever happening because the studio that actually owns the rights to Sailor Moon are still willing to greenlight things like Sailor Moon Crystal. And another remake this soon probably wouldn't go over that well.
Are there any studios you'd want to see remake old things? Whether anime or otherwise?
Oof. Well, there's a lot of series that could do with a re-envisioning. Just bringing it out as it was, even whether in manga form or not, just wouldn't do the series justice anymore. I think it'd be neat to see a Full Metal Alchemist re-envisioning. Taking the basic idea, but ignoring the manga and the anime-only storylines. Going their own route. I don't think Full Metal Panic would do that well in that. Ghost in the Shell does fine enough.
Plus, it's getting a reimagining / whitewashing. So we got that. I wouldn't mind seeing a Slayer series done by a Voltron team or some other studio other than the guys who originally make Slayers. Because Slayers, they get the high fantasy humor thing right sometimes, and they just botch it too many times.
Oh, that those I'd love last to see two
other,
seasons?
Yeah, I'd love to see other people handle Slayers. A continuation or a reimagining, that'd be kind of neat.
Or even better yet, how about, what was it called? The one in the same universe as Slayers, but it was the space one.
Lost Universe?
Lost Universe.
With Kane, Blue River.
Hey, I watch Lost Universe every couple years. Because as cheesy as it is, just like with Slayers seasons 1, 2, and 3, there's so much good there.
There's definitely a lot of humor, a lot of heart, and a lot of laughs, especially in the dub. Kane Blue River's ridiculous battle cries in the dub. Oh, those are good. Those are good times.
So yeah, having a Netflix Voltron team remake / reimagining would be bloody well awesome. For something like that.
Oh, there's a lot of shows I wouldn't mind Trigger doing a version of. A Trigger... Ooh. Can you imagine a Trigger Slayers?
Oh, dude.
Oh, God!
That would be awesome.
I didn't realize what I said until I said it.
Lena sure wouldn't be flat chest anymore.
Well, she might be, but I mean... Like, you can just picture the scene in your head of... Gowrie acrobatically slicing up enemies in two while a bunch of fireballs hit their broken pieces from Lena. Like, okay, the Trigger, get your people in touch with my people, and then don't do that because you need to get in touch with the Slayers people and make a Trigger Slayers.
That would be amazing.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't think we're going to top that in this podcast. Folks, we are Two Fat Guys Talk. You should also see our other show, Carlos Nave Anime Rave. Find both of those on our website. Yeah, you can get to it through either twofatguystalk.com or animerave.xyz. Goodbye.
Adios.
Farewell. Panda pussy.